Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliot Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliot Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and welcome to episode 4 of our 5th season. Our guests for this one are Dan Alvarez and Jordan Dunpills, who together make up the band Toledo. The pair have been making music together since they were 11 years old, growing up in Newburyport in Massachusetts. After parting ways for college, Dan and Jordan are now reunited and living in Brooklyn, and are steadily building a big following, with their debut album coming out in September this year. And they're both big Elliot Smith fans, and decided to take a slightly different route for this interview by comparing two well-known recordings of the same song. It was a lot of fun chatting to Dan and Jordan. From speaking to them, you do really get a sense of their friendship and chemistry as a double act, and I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation. So here are Dan and Jordan of Toledo.
We're Toledo. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan, individually speaking.
Individually speaking, but yeah. Together we combine.
Mighty Morph to Toledo.
Mighty Morph as Toledo.
And tell us what your collective pick for your favorite Elliot Smith song is.
We thought it would be cool to talk about the Miss Misery early version in comparison to, you know, the version that was in movie theaters.
I'll fake it through the day with some help from Johnny Walker Red, with a cold pain behind my eyes, it shoots back through my head. With two tickets torn in half and a lot and nothing to do, but it's all right, 'cause some enchanted night I'll be with you.
What are your observations of the differences? How, like, is there a version you prefer, and why do you prefer it, I suppose?
I was trying to decide if there was a version that I prefer.
I have a definitive answer to that.
You give your answer
first. I definitely prefer the early version.
Why? Now you say why.
Now I say why.
Yeah,
my
reasoning,
my reasoning for preferring the early version is because I feel like it highlights the lyrics a little bit more than the newer version. And I'm big on recording and engineering and production and stuff. And I know, like, Elliot Smith was not a huge fan of, like, recording studios or adding a bunch of shit into his songs. So it's kind of nice when you get that raw, like, here's the song, here's what, you know, in modern times feels like us sitting in our bedroom having a voice memo on our phone. It's nice to have that kind of side to him as well, in, like, a, you know, obviously not, he didn't have an iPhone with voice memos, but it's just not, I feel like it's just more authentic to him. I don't know. Can disagree.
I mean, I do disagree, but because, like, towards the end of his career, you know, he was absolutely in studios.
I know he was in studios.
And he did like it because he fucking loves the Beatles.
Yeah, I know, but it's like I am so attached to the, like, cassette aspect, the whole thing. Because, like, for us, like, we love working with, like, cassettes, and or trying to think that we like working with cassettes and tape and stuff. And that old Elliot Smith, like, cassette thing from the early days feels to me like the staple of...
It is probably what a lot of people think about when they think about, like, either or, probably, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's funny because, like, it's almost like twangy. The, like, movie version feels really twangy.
Yeah, it's like orchestrated.
It's super traditional, too. It's not like a weird recording or anything. It just feels kind of like a band in a room, you know.
I was re-listening to it, and there are, like, added chords even.
Oh, yeah, he gets
like
weird.
They, like, added some chords to make it more orchestral.
Yeah.
I do think... maybe I'm just saying this just to, like, disagree with Daniel, but I think the early version is simpler. Like, it's kind of just a breakup song. I mean, it's Elliot Smith, so it's, like, a very good breakup song.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is something really special about that. But it's so cool how he was able to, when he rewrote it for the movie, get, like, build that universe to be something that, like, everyone can kind of fall in. And it weirdly has, like, themes from the movie in it, too.
Yeah,
like, he made it like a movie song because they're, like, talking about, like, the man in the park read the lines on my hands and stuff. It's like, there's the scene where Matt Damon and and Robin Williams are like in the park on the bench and stuff. Like, I feel like that might have been on purpose, which I think is cool. Maybe he hated doing that, but like, it's cool that he found a way to do something like that, which is technically, like, I don't know, cheesy, but like, it still hits so hard.
Men in the park read the lines in my head, told me I'm strong, hardly ever wrong. I said, man, you mean you had plans for both of us that involved a trip out of town to a place I see magazine that you left lying around.
This song to me is the pivotal Elliott Smith melody of the like dim, 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 like when he starts kind of really leaning into like the climbing down and the climbing up and using his melodies to kind of emphasize the lyrics. So this,
and it's a verse that has like 30 chords, it feels like.
I know, it's crazy. It is one of those, like, you know, complex Elliott Smith songs
that sounds
so simple, but is inherently a pretty complex tune.
Well, it's got like key changes and three choruses and stuff too. Yeah, and I feel like it is a good, like, you know, it's funny that we're doing it because it's probably one of the songs that most people would be like, oh, I know that one.
Yeah, it's a classic.
But we're doing the early version.
The early version, so it's indie.
Yeah, yeah. But it's got the, like, well, you know, things that I'm like, oh, Elliott Smith, yeah, he does the like little vocal trills down, or he does, yeah, yeah, or he does like key changes to a pre-chorus, and it's got the, like, I always think of Elliott Smith in the sense that, like, when we have a walk down or a walk up in our songs, I'm like, oh, and then you do the Elliott Smith thing.
Oh yeah, we say that all the time.
Yeah, but this song is like, it just keeps walking up and down in the verses.
Yeah, it almost like feels like Beatles, he's being like, hey, here's an Elliott Smith song. It feels so. Elliott
Do you
Smith.
Think this is like the archetypal Elliott Smith song?
Yeah.
It has all of those little traits.
This and some of the waltzes to me feel like the archetypes for Elliott Smith. Yeah. In terms of like where I started listening, this is probably one of the first songs, not the early version, but the newer one, but one of the first songs I had heard, because I had a friend long ago who showed me.
Well, it's also kind of
a waltz, and then it is kind of waltzy, but it doesn't feel as waltzy as the other intense, like the pop, 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 pop ones.
I can't hold my liquor, but I keep a good attitude, cause it's all right, sun and chin and night, I'll be.
There's a line in the early version that I do like a lot more.
Right.
Where he kept the same part about, like, next door the TV's flashing blue on the wall. And then in the movie version, he's like, it's a comedy of errors, you see. It's about taking a fall, which is, like, a great line for everyone to enjoy. But then he's in the early version, it's like, it's a comedy with a star from the 70s that no one recalls. And it's just like, you're kind of like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, to vanish into oblivion is easy to do. And it just like drives home how good he is at the like one-liners at the end, which Dan and I try to do. And it's such a tricky tightrope to walk.
It's almost like
you can really fall on your face if you don't do it well. But he does such a good job with it.
Next door, the TV's flashing blue, frames on the wall. It's a comedy from the 70s with the lead no one recalls. He vanished into oblivion. It's easy to do, and I cry to see when you talk to me the day you said.
Dan, if you were building a archetypal Elliott Smith song, what would be the elements you'd have in there?
Oh, just wow. Weird.
When our album comes out, you'll hear probably some like ripoff.
Oh, huge ripoff, just like way worse. I don't know. I think if I was building an Elliott Smith song, I would do something that we don't do, and I would start minor, and that would be my archetype. So you got to start minor, and I'm going to get a little like music nerdy here, but there, one of the tendencies that he does is he's like 6-5-2 major.
Yeah, the two major.
That two major is where
it's talked about.
Everyone talks about it. It's where Elliott Smith gets his like glimmer of hope in a sad reality.
Right.
And I think that's like the number one thing that you have to do in an Elliott Smith song to create it is you have to have like a moment of extreme intense emotional depravity almost, and then resolve it, but not resolve the lyrics, but just resolve the music and the melody. And I think you're got an Elliott Smith.
Yeah,
song.
And then
that's it though.
For
that's
me,
it.
Lyrically, it's I think what he everyone just goes to being like, oh, it's so sad, it's so sad. But like the thing that like draws me to specific songs, and I had a hard time being like, are we going to talk about this? Are we going to talk about Baby Britain? And I won't like get too deep into it. But like he's also so smart and funny, and that's what makes the. If he was just being like, I'm sad today, I hate this today, like no one would care, but he's smart and he's funny, and that's like
that's part of the inspiration for us. That's like a number one thing for us is like, you know, I don't think we have a song that isn't like inherently sad in some way, but we're not, you know, we're funny people that and like fun, I hope. Fun and
well, it's been fun chatting to you so far for the last 10 minutes. So
we have
I get
fun
that.
Enough people that you know that I hope that people can kind of see that juxtaposition. And with Elliott, it's like you know, not I, you know, there's not enough people that got to see that juxtaposition. Obviously, they know about a tragic ending, so it becomes this kind of like tragedy of like it almost feels like Shakespearean like tragedy of Elliott Smith. Whereas like this guy is probably in reality was like a pretty goofy, weird guy, you know?
Jordan, you were saying you like the kind of that like sharp line from Miss Misery as well, which do you kind of see that as an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And I also just, I love, I guess this isn't the same as being like, he's funny here, but the way that he'll like in that example, in the early version, spending so much time on something so small. And when he starts that segment, you're kind of like, where is this going? And then he gives you it right at the end. And it makes the whole, that minute, that verse, like,
it almost feels more. It almost feels like he created, like, an equation for, like, people having an emotional reaction to songs. Because, it's like, there's so many artists now that you feel that kind of, like, small build-up, huge cathartic release.
Mm.
And with Elliott, it's always kind of been that, like, he's talking about such specific moments that feel like they're specific to him, but can be generalized to, like, an audience if you picture it in your own world and stuff. I don't know. It's a nice window.
I mean, it's the same with Waltz 2. I'm sorry, we're supposed to be talking about one song, but, like...
That's okay.
It's the whole song is that, where it's, like, he's talking about watching people do karaoke for two verses. Like,
yeah,
it's so hyper specific.
But that allows you to feel like you're living in the world of the art. You
and
know?
One of the things that I love about his music, and one of the reasons why I think it's like a, even though it might not be the most like obvious comparison with Toledo, but I think Dan and I think about music in a similar way in the sense that I don't think that Elliott accidentally did these things. I think he loves music and he listens to it enough and plays it enough that I think it's okay to say if something's formulaic. Like I think he listens to the Beatles and is like, oh, this worked here and I'm gonna try and make it work in my own world.
But like, he brought in a nice little like twist to it that feels so I don't know.
There's I just think like, that just... he's a music nerd in the same way that we like to nerd out about music. So it's like, I think people want it to be like, he just like accidentally like wrote it this way because he was sad. And it's like, no, he probably
he's
like,
he's a genius. He's
it.
Smart. Yeah. He knows what he's doing, you know? And it's part of the story and it's part of the myth, you know, of Elliott Smith. The myth of Elliott Smith.
That's and when you guys
start my podcast,
it's like three.
I gotta get that podcast going.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed to start a rival. You're not
huge competition.
When you guys started playing together, was Elliott Smith like an immediate reference point for you?
Like no. I was thinking about how How I got into it was in college. I was kind of late to the game.
Me too. It was in college for me. And I guess that's when, I mean, we started playing together when we were like 11 or 12 and had a bunch of different bands. We used to rip off like Two Door Cinema Club and The Fray. And now we still do. But in college, I think both of us had, we kind of had separate Elliott Smith moments.
Yeah. What was, you go first.
I think, well, my Elliott Smith moment was like, I don't listen to a lot of music because I get a little too excited about music because I went to school for music and I've made music my entire life. And I've learned that sometimes if I listen to something, I'll just copy it. And the only music that I like consistently will listen to because I enjoy it as its own thing without trying to take too much from it is Elliott Smith, because it's one of those things that like, it's one of those hills that you feel like you can't reach,
but
you like climbing it. You know, that what's that myth? The thing who's pulling the boulder or whatever.
Big myth guy.
I'm all about the myths. Like, so for me, the first time was I had a friend who showed me Waltz number 2 and I made them a mug that had some lyrics on it. And then I was like, and I hadn't really listened to the song much. And then I listened to the song and then I dove in. And one of the things that became prevalent is I was in a wedding band and I had to travel a lot for the wedding band. And it was my job to drive the van for my wedding band. And I always, my thing was, I will put headphones on while I'm driving, which is super dangerous and illegal because I'm driving at like 2 a.m. back from a wedding. And the only thing I would do is listen to Elliott Smith.
You didn't
want to
like drive off a bridge.
Yeah. I didn't want to drive off a bridge. That's the, it kept me going, and the only thing I would do is listen to Elliott Smith. And then I would, anytime I had like a long bus ride to the city or something,
yeah,
it was like
such good bus.
Elliott
music.
Smith was that kind of thing. And then it became important for Toledo because a lot of people have always said like, Toledo's like driving music, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's awesome to me when people say that, because that's how I think of Elliott Smith. So if someone can think of Toledo that way, that's great.
Yeah. My experience with it was weird. I was in school for theater, for acting, and someone was doing a student-directed play that she wrote and was directing, and it was like a Elliott Smith biop, like... story of Elliott Smith, like loosely inspired,
right?
And she was like, Jordan, you play guitar, you are perfect for this part. And I was like, I know. And then I had probably heard like a song or two before, but then because I was such a great actor, I was like, I'm gonna deep dive into this
the
man's
life. Jared Leto,
I started method walking acting. Around
it's method,
but no,
yeah.
But it was cool because like, I mean, it didn't hurt that the music was great and I was like predisposed to like his music.
Yeah.
When I dove in, I like really dove in. The nice thing about that is because I was like trying to be a good actor, I was also like trying to learn about his life and read like interviews or like, I mean, probably it was I read the shit out of that Wikipedia page. So that was cool to feel like I like really like dove
you got
in
into his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Tried to.
I had brown hair at the time too, so it was like uncanny.
Yeah, he really looked like him.
Did you do a voice as well, or did you just stick to your
No, voice? Well, this is fun. This is worth talking about too, because well, Daniel and I were, you know, we were apart in college, so sad, but we were still like writing songs together and stuff. So it was a loosely inspired by Elliott Smith story, and when I played music in the show, I was playing Toledo songs. Storm TV's flashing blue frames on the wall. It's a comedy of errors, you see. It's about taking a fall.
We're from north of Boston, and so we often, despite COVID and other things, we would often before find ourselves on buses back and forth from New York and Boston. And it's not a pretty bus ride at all. It's kind
really.
Of like the worst bus ride ever. So I don't know. It adds a little air of beauty to an otherwise gloomy ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. What songs are the perfect perfect songs for that bus journey, do you reckon? Elliott Smith ones.
I kind of do what Daniel did, said, like, where I'll just be like, oh, I listened to EXO. Or like, I just go.
I could
like,
tell you the name of maybe four songs. Because I don't, but I could sing like 90% of the Elliott songs to you. I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah. Sing. Can you sing 90% of Elliott's
music? Yeah, I can do it right now. Perfect.
I've got a few time. Hours.
But yeah, I guess that like, I usually start at like the beginning of his catalog, and then I'll usually do everything, and then I'll dive into the like weird stuff, like the demos and things like that. And I often try to find like YouTube videos too, like the rare like two or three that there are out there.
Yeah, those are great.
But also a big thing for me with Elliott Smith was like, it was a big part of like how we started recording music was like, you know, cause we started really getting into recording ourselves in college.
Say double track vocal, say it.
Oh, I mean, I can't say double track vocal.
It's a staple of the podcast.
It's everyone does it. everyone does it now. It's like the big thing. It's like the staple of indie music, but Elliott Smith was like, I mean, I guess the Beatles kind of did it, but they did it by doubling each other, which is cool, and we do that now, which is also cool, but Elliott Smith kind of perfected that that tone, that the beginning of stereo vocal imaging, and that was really cool, because all the Beatles stuff is in mono, so when you're hearing like a vocal that's doubled, it's right in the center, but what Elliott did is, because he was using like Tascam 414 cassettes and stuff like that, he just panned everything hard left or hard right. And it's a crazy sonic experience when you have it, because you don't really have a center point with the Elliott Smith stuff. It's like you're getting spoken to by two different people in two different ears. But he was so good at it. That's the thing. It's like when you're doubling a vocal, it's like really hard. And this is the part, like you're saying about how, like how he does nerd out and he is like methodical. Every vowel, every click in his throat, everything is exactly timed to perfection, and when it's not, it's extremely intentional. And I think that's one of the cool things about Elliott Smith, is he knows how to get an emotional performance not only in the songwriting but in a recording, and that immediately took us to like kind of a new world of recording, where we were like, you know, these minuscule tools that were for people to be recording at home can create so much more emotion than if you were paying, you know, however much money to do 8 hours at a recording studio. And I know Elliott Smith eventually dove into that, but he dove into that because he got his footing on his own, putting up a single microphone in front of his awful drum set, in front of his pretty bad guitar. And, you know, it just feels like that's what we're doing. And now we're, you know, we've been DIY recording forever, and we're slowly starting to get to the point where we're doing studio stuff, not because like we couldn't have done studio stuff before, but just because it feels like a learning process for us the same way it felt like it was for him.
But it's all right, some enchanted night, I'll be with you.
So thank you very much to Dan and to Jordan for being our guests on My Favorite Elliott Smith Song. As always, you can find some links in the episode notes if you want to delve deeper into any of the topics we discussed in that interview. Also in the episode notes is a link to subscribe to our monthly newsletter, which we'll be sending out the second edition of in the coming week. There's lots of exclusive content in there, so do make sure you sign up to it if you want to receive it. And that brings us up nicely to the end of this episode. And as is now customary, we'll close out with a cover sent in to us by a listener. Today we're doing a cover of a cover, actually, as we keep our focus on New Moon. So here is Jake Lamb playing 13, originally written by Big Star, but famously covered by Elliott as well. Thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance, and I'll take
said about painting black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside now, it's okay. And I'll shake you. Ooh.
My favourite Elliot Smith song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Wood Stanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavoriteelliotsmithsong.com.